broadcast over any FM car radio.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Throw away your bulky transmitters and broadcasting towers. The Superstar Celebrity Microphone lets you hear your voice through any AM radio.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
He's in for some loving.
Hi, I'm Jack from Saugerties, and I'm at the radio station with my sister Katie. You're listening to WGXC Aqua. Have a nice day!
You are invited to join me upon the Cypress Bough. Music from North Africa, West and Central Asia. First Monday of every month, 8 to 10 p.m. on WGXC, 90.7 FM. And WGXC.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Justin Grotlushin of Sri Lanka. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You, too, can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Friday says this one won't miss. Awesome beyond description.
The most extraordinary output ever to emerge from the motion picture studio.
It cost $4 million and it has 4 million thrills. Imagine having lived 10 years in the sky.
There's ash in the pages now.
Good evening, listeners, and happy holidays. This is the special Starbucks Workers Union Strike edition of the Capital District Democratic Socialist Good Time Hour. You're listening either on WGXC Acra 90.7 on your FM dial, radio for open ears, or on wavefarm.org. The show usually broadcasts on the first Tuesday of every month, but tonight is special. It's pre-recorded with an interview of Erin, a barista and organizer with Starbucks Workers United. I'm Casey, your host, along with my co-host Bill, who ever pretentiously goes by Poche Noir.
Bonsoir, comrades. Joyeuse Feste. Today being December 12th, it's the 22nd day of the month of Frumaire in the year 234 of the French Republican calendar. This day is represented by heather, whose flower is a mauve color, but the plant is used, strangely enough, to make a yellow dye. Go figure.
Huh. Heather, like heather, like British, like Scottish heather.
Like the things that grow on the heath, the heathers.
Amazing. Yes, fabulous. Cool. So before we get to our interview with Erin, here's the necessary litany. Since this is a very opinionated show, the remarks made in this program are our very own and not those of WGXC, nor are they officially of the DSA. Bill and I are just a couple of people who are socialists and members of the DSA speaking our minds. And the DSA is the proverbial big tent with many differing opinions.
So if you want to make your opinions known, then you may consider joining the Democratic Socialists of America. The only thing asked for by DSA is a recognition that the unfair world that we live in is in need of real help and, of course, your desire to do something about it. You do not have to be a strict Marxist like me. But we'll have a song before we get to Erin.
Is my name. Black coffee, not a thing. Black coffee, freshly ground and fully packed. Hot black coffee.
Black coffee.
Oh, that's where it's at.
You know I can live.
So we're here tonight with Erin, who is on strike as an employee of Starbucks. Erin, why don't you introduce yourself?
My name's Erin. I work over at the Kingston Starbucks on Massa Drive. You might know it as the one by the Home Depot. And that's right. We haven't quite gone on strike just yet. We'll be going on the 4th. Will be our first day. And we'll be out for a few weeks there, standing out in the cold, fighting for better rights, better pay, better benefits, you name it.
My understanding is that the basis of this strike is what is called a ULP strike, an unfair labor practices strike. Could you explain that to our listening audience, please?
So unfair labor practices it's a pretty broad topic and broad category more so. And it can range from anything like wages that are too low, cases of just where the manager is being a little unfair in the case of retaliating against people for speaking their mind or just generally being of a different demographic than that of the manager. You know, any sort of actions like that, a lot of unfair punishments. And in this case, Starbucks has been very strong about their anti-union views in the past, a little bit less so in the more recent time, but there was a big store shutdown semi-recently, and that did affect union stores a little bit more disproportionately.
Oh, really? Tell me about that.
So I'm forgetting the exact number off the top of my head here, but we about, I think, close to 800 stores were shut down, and about 50 of those were union stores. So
like, basically all the union stores?
No, not that many. It was, like, the proportion is similar.
I see.
It was 8% of the stores closed in that mass layoff were mm-hmm. also union stores. And don't quote me, those figures might be a bit different.
Okay, but it's, let's say, consistent with management that is anti-union, as all management.
Definitely so.
One of the things I love about the present strike is that it's both very local and completely national because there's so many stores.
There really is. We're close to a bit over 600 stores are unionized nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a few, especially for like a chain corporation like this. Really unprecedented, but I'm reveling in it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you say that again? You're reveling.
We're all reveling in it. Yeah, we're enjoying being out here, and you know, because it's not just a fight for those of us who are unionized, it's a fight for the company and workers as a whole.
Yeah, what's the energy like on the ground in Kingston?
Definitely a little bit nervous, but a good kind of nervous where everybody's just anticipating it and looking forward to being out there. And so many of the people in the store haven't really done any sort of organizing or direct action type protests. This is going to be like their first taste of it. So definitely nervous, but everybody's excited. Everybody's showing a lot of support. We have like a few like things like GoFundMe is going up. We have a food drive. And even just in like the first day, we've had like one huge lump donation, and it's been open for less than 24 hours.
Wow. And
so even just community support.
That's awesome. Where could we find the info on those kind of the drives, the GoFundMes and stuff? Is there a...
Well, I've been partnering with the local chapter of the DSA. They've been helping me organize a good bit of this. We don't have anything set up for the GoFundMe public. I think we just posted like a few of our personal Instagrams, but definitely expect within like the next 24 to 48 hours that there will be hopefully a post from the actual Starbucks Workers United that if anybody would like to, they can always lend a hand or just show their support in some way.
Cool. And that, just to clarify, that is the Mid-Hudson Valley DSA. Mid-Hudson,
yes.
DSA. Yeah. Just south of us up here in Catskill.
Mm-hmm.
We are the only union store in the Hudson Valley here, so it's a little lonely. We need all the help we can get.
Well, if you win a good contract, I'm sure it will be an inducement for many other stores to join. I did a little research, and I discovered that Starbucks locations are not franchises. They're licensees.
Yes.
So they're not like, I guess, McDonald's or something like that. They're closer. They are more closely aligned with who's the boss? What's the boss name? It's Brian Nichols.
Yes, they're all kind of subsidiary of him, very much more corporatized.
So they're not privately owned the way a franchise would be.
No, it's all owned by the company. It's not like privately owned by a separate individual.
Oh,
like our manager has no stake in like the ownership of the store itself. He's just there to manage us, the workers.
Mm-hmm. What's your job?
It's a very interesting dynamic. I am just a barista.
Okay.
Technically,
don't say,
I'm just. Oh, well, I'm a barista and a barista trainer, although they've never really given me anybody to train. Can't imagine why.
That's right.
Got to fill their head with union ideas. Ooh. But, you know, I've been with the company for close to a little over 4 years, coming up on 4.5. And it's really the same everywhere. Very much low energy, but very tight-knit pockets of community. You know, I've found a lot of lifelong friends just through working a day that's a little too busy and a little too short-staffed.
You make your friends from work and doing things, really, you know?
Exactly. And then it's such a nice surprise, too, because we all do try to, like, hang out outside of work. We all schedule little get-togethers, parties, go bowling, anything, really.
What's it like to work at Starbucks? I'm thinking of, I'm just asking questions about, let's say, wages and time off and getting the hours you need to get benefits, that kind of thing.
Way that the benefits system works specifically is that over the course of the calendar year, which is also set up a little weird, the calendar year, it starts here in this last quarter of the fiscal year for most companies, mm-hmm. and ends in the summer, I believe. And so you have to work a certain lump sum of hours to be eligible for the benefits. And that, I believe, is 520 hours annually. If you're only working about 20 hours a week, mm-hmm. consistently, you should be able to get that. But sometimes with the staffing at the store, you might not have that option. Sometimes people just don't get enough hours to go around. And the pay being, I think starting rates now are around $16.50. And the annual raises are close to 2%.
Oh, wow. That doesn't...
Yeah, like pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
Especially after tax comes out. And there is a cap. So as a barista, the maximum that it can go is up to $25, which would take probably a solid 10 years to get there. The pay is not great. The benefits are okay, but I don't personally take advantage of them myself. I'm lucky enough to still be young enough at the age where I can take advantage of my parents' insurance plan. And so that just tends to be better.
Yeah.
I hear from others that the Starbucks insurance isn't as accepted as many locations as it ought to be. They do have like some pay matching 401k stuff, 401k. Mm-hmm. But otherwise the pay is definitely not enough to get by. I think I'm like one expensive bill away from needing help from outside people, or I won't be able to pay my rent.
But you guys formed your union, and I guess that it would be one big union dealing, since they're not franchises, your licensees, it would be one union for all the Starbucks workers, not with the individual stores. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
So we are, Starbucks Workers United is a part of the International Union Workers United. Mm-hmm. And so we are just one subsect of them, and we're trying to organize as many stores under their umbrella as we can. Go ahead.
Sorry, were you one of the people who unionized your store?
Yeah, we had our vote back in January of this year. I actually only came to this store August of last year.
Mm-hmm.
I transferred up from Long Island, actually. And so just a few months after, me and two of my coworkers there got together, saw there was an interest for it, fought for it, and we won our vote 16-4.
Wow.
Terrific.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So it's wonderful.
You are in that stage where you form the union, and the next step is to get the contract. Is that right?
Yes.
And, of course, a good contract will have a cost of living allowance on top of
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
E-raise and all of that biz. That's great. That's great.
Yeah. And, honestly, the contract is very close to being done. We're just waiting for Starbucks to come back to the bargaining table, finish up those last things. We're really waiting on the pay package.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last one that was offered was, well, not enough. It wasn't enough to keep people going. It wasn't enough to give people a livable wage. And so we left the bargaining table, and we are here to show them that we mean business and show them that they need to pay us more or we're going to cost them money.
I was watching the Thanksgiving Day parade, and there was advertisements, I'm sure, that were very expensive that could have paid for your salary packages, according to the contract. And they actually used that song, 500 Miles by the Proclaimers.
Oh, God, really? That must have been so expensive.
I'm sure the rights to that song are not cheap.
No.
I am sure it is not the Proclaimers who agreed to that. Somebody must own that song, because those two Scottish twins are very, very far left.
Yeah, I'm sure it's some media corporation akin to Sony who owns those rights and is charging a good dollar for those. Goodness.
I would love to see somebody from Starbucks Workers United contact the Proclaimers and get them on paper to say, we don't approve of this use of our song. And I also saw that in the middle of November, Starbucks Workers United arranged some distribution center shutdown.
Yes.
Tell me all. That completely sends me. Tell me all about it, please.
I don't have as many details as I would love to, but I believe it was over in Pittsburgh. Our distribution centers are a company called Bartlett, at least here in New York. I think it should be the same over in Pennsylvania there. And so they were able to go to the headquarters, or at least the, like you said, the distribution center, and block all of the delivery trucks. They deliver all of like our milk, our perishable foods, croissants, breakfast sandwiches, all that stuff. And they were able to fully stop the trucks from leaving, at least for a period. There's a few stores elsewhere that are even like blocking the trucks from delivering, because some of those delivery drivers, depending on the state, are union workers themselves. They're Teamsters.
Yes.
So in their contracts, it is allowed for them to not deliver to an active picket line.
So sweet. And
so people are running around setting up picket lines at the delivery time, which is like 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever insomniac baristas are running around setting up picket lines at 3 a.m. to stop that from happening, my heart goes out to them, and I can only hope we can replicate something like that.
And your promotional stuff for the strike is sometimes really good. You want to grind Starbucks to a halt. I like that angle.
Yeah, we have some phenomenally creative people involved just in the store, in the community in general. Some of the picket signs that we have are quite good.
Yeah, tell us more about how somebody like Bill or I could come out and show out for you when the picket starts.
Right now, we are kind of hammering out a bit of a flexible schedule for the days and times that we'll be there. But the goal is going to be that we will be out there picketing during the busiest time of the day, which is our morning peak from about 9 to noon usually. So it changes depending on the day and the weather and all that. But we're going to aim to be out there for about 5 hours a day during the busiest time. And then a bit later in the day, we'll either have like a community building thing where we'll all get together and have a kind of potluck get together, or even like just hand out leaflets in front of a different Starbucks and let people know. And as far as ways people can help, they could, if they'd like, come on out to the picket line themselves. We'll be sending out a bit of a rough schedule again to the local DSA, giving them an idea, talking to other local labor organizations. It'll have to be played by ear a bit, because depending on if they shut down certain stores, we'll have to change locations. Coming out, donating food is also a great option. We have a food pantry we're setting up, and anything, if people can, that'd be great. But, you know, no obligations ever.
So, Aaron, your Starbucks in Kingston is the only one in the Hudson River Valley down about there where... That's a union shop.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Let me do a service to the strike in general. I'm going to give a list of the ones up in the, let's say, the Capital District. So there's one, There's one in 2 Kelch Drive in Malta. That's a union shop. 309 Clifton Park Center Road in Clifton Park. 2303 Knott Street in Niskayuna. 1210 Troy Schenectady Road in Latham. There's one at the Crossgates Mall in Albany. There's one in Stuyvesant Plaza at 1475 Western Avenue in Albany. There's one at 62 New Scotland Avenue in Albany. There's one at 600 Columbia Turnpike East Greenbush. And I think that even more, since I've compiled that list, have actually gone out on strike as well.
Yeah.
One in New Scotland as well, near the hospital in Albany.
The one in Scotland has.
Yep. And there's a Starbucks in Saugerties, right? And they're not union?
No, they're not. There's the Saugerties one, and then there's also the one that's Lake Katrine, which is just like 2-3 miles down the road from us. So it's a bit of a superfluous store, if you ask me, but...
Okay. Are there any non-union stores that have decided to, let's say, go out on strike and sympathy and try to get unionized themselves?
Not that I'm aware of right now, and I would be surprised if they did, because since they wouldn't be unionized, it wouldn't be a protected action, and they'd be putting their jobs at risk. So
okay.
I could totally understand why people wouldn't, but none of the local stores have been as supportive of our efforts as we maybe like. Some of the individuals that we've had a chance to talk to, like people who've covered at our store and we've gotten to talk to about it, they're willing to not pick up any shifts at our store, but that's really about it.
Yeah, and there is an effort from our labor committee within the DSA to leaflet the non-unionized stores in solidarity and kind of like spearhead those efforts to get those stores unionized or just spread education as well.
That's a great idea. And we're definitely planning on trying to do a bit of that ourselves. Actually do some canvassing while we're out on strike, because anything that doesn't necessarily involve outright picketing is still a great action to be doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to try to get to as many stores in our district as we can.
Can you remind us one more time, if somebody's tuned in a bit late, when the strike starts?
So the strike is going to be starting here on December 4th for us. So this coming Thursday.
Thursday, yeah. Wow.
And so we'll be out for a few weeks, preferably rather until we get our actual contract, because, you know, we don't want to go back to work without all these better benefits and protections. So we'll be staying there as long as we need to.
Good. It's called the Red Cup Rebellion. Is that right?
It is. And that was because Starbucks has this promotional event, Red Cup Day, usually around mid-November, where if you buy a holiday drink, you get a dinky little plastic red cup. It's a very interesting one. And so a bunch of stores went out and started their strike on that day. We were not one of them. We're only going to be out for starting this soon. But every week, actually, more stores had been going on strike. We're doing a ramping or a roving strike to try and maximize the profits we can cost them during their busiest time of year.
I'm sorry, ramping or roving?
Roving.
Roving, I see.
What ramping is that?
Roving strike. Please explain the distinction.
It's just a technique of striking where we have all, say, 600, I believe, stores, and that every week more go out. So, for example, 100 go out the first week, and then another 100, and another 100, and another 100, and so on and so forth until we hit all of the stores who voted to strike are out. And then we stay out for as long as is necessary.
Uh-huh, so that was the plan ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
This has been in the works for, just about since the beginning of this year when our store first organized.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kept it under wraps for a good long while now. It's just now that we're in the last few days for my store, at least, seems like the managers have maybe caught on.
As a help to you guys, have there been any, let's say, local or national politicians who have come out in solidarity with you guys and say, like, don't buy Starbucks this year?
For our store, no. Not that I'm aware of, but I do actually have a few people who I'm going to be trying to talk to and maybe seeing if we can get anyone to come out to the picket line with us.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see. I know that New York City's mayor has come out and spoken against Starbucks'
union. He's not mayor yet, but he will be.
Oh, soon to be mayor. And there's a few actions planned in New York City itself where some of the baristas from up here in the Hudson Valley might be going down to a Starbucks down in the city, and there's rumors that he might make an appearance. Wouldn't, so that I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. I know that I believe that there were some strikers who went to Brian Nichols's headquarters in New York City recently.
Yeah, I believe so.
And I was surprised that it's in New York City. I thought that Starbucks was the offices were in Portland or someplace.
There,
West Coast.
Yeah, I think there is a few in Seattle, but I think with every CEO shift that we've had, we've gone through, I believe, 6 in like 4 years.
Oh, wow.
So every time they kind of switch where they want to be located out of, depending on like where they want to live. And it just so happened that Brian Nichols wanted it to be in New York where he, I guess, previously lived. And so it's more comfortable for him.
You are listening to WGXC Akron, 90.7 on your FM dial, radio for open ears.
And he gets a big old pay package for it, too.
Yep.
He does. Hate to work at Starbucks corporate. They should be unionized. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I would love if we could get them unionized. I would love to see this company fully unionized one day.
I don't really get my coffee at a Starbucks because there's really not one in Columbia County, except for one a little further up, but that would be an inducement. I like to shop union.
I don't think there are any in Columbia or Green except for on the throughway, Bill.
I mean, I myself, before I started working here, never really went to Starbucks. And then, you know, I started working here and realized how big of a thing it is for so many people and was honestly blown away by how busy they even get.
I feel like I remember them being fun in the 2000s. Like in
that
college
is the thing
in New York.
Too, that like so many people. I work with a lot of people who've been with the company for a very long time. One of my friends from my old store was with the company for, I believe, 15 or 16 years. And so...
Wait, I'm sorry. Could you repeat that, Bill? You're hitting the mic, so there's a lot of noise.
I'm sorry. I don't know where my mic is anymore.
No problem. Okay, sorry, Aaron.
No, you're good. Back on Long Island, I have a friend who at my last store had been with the company for, I believe, 15 or 16 years.
Whoa.
And she had said that the company had kind of, her words, not mine, very much lost its identity and gone downhill kind of from the 2010s onward. She used to say that it was very much like a community. It was a community focused place. They like to call it the third place now.
Mm-hmm.
And that it used to actually embody that, you know, you knew everybody who came by. And then there was a shift in the 2010s that made it more fast food-esque instead of a coffee shop. Now the expectation is in those morning rushes, you have a coffee out for a customer, you get them in and out of the drive-thru in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that, then the company gets upset that your times aren't very good.
Uh-huh. 30 seconds? Penalize.
Yeah.
How 30 is that seconds. Even possible?
Beats me because I work the night shift.
Oh my god,
it's quite scary to think about.
So they do all that kind of monitoring too, right? That kind of Fordist monitoring.
Yeah. Oof. It's a bit crazy. Our manager, it gets very on top of people about those drive-through times because I think also, and this is a little bit of conjecture on my part, I think there might be some amount of like bonuses or something else depending on like what store has the fastest drive times and such like that, because I feel like he maybe wouldn't push for it otherwise.
It would astonish me if that weren't the case.
Exactly.
I will say when I do get Starbucks, it's union only.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because didn't also like Starbucks sue the union for like being supporting the ceasefire in Palestine?
Yes, that was a, oh gosh, I'm trying now to rack my brain to remember what was happening with that. There was a post that somebody made, not even like the Workers United, like Twitter or whatever social media it was on. It was just a union barista, I believe, who made that post. And Workers United, I believe, was a little bit like, hey, we can't be saying like politicized things like that. And then the company was trying to take action against Workers United for having taken that stand.
Wow.
And as a result of that, people started boycotting Starbucks because of the fact that they were essentially saying you can't take a stand in defense of calling for ceasefire. And people were quite a bit upset about that. And I feel rightly so.
Starbucks PR hasn't been great as of late, but support your local union.
Starbucks' PR has been very, very down in the dumps lately. I mean, even to the fact that Bernie Sanders is coming out and decrying Starbucks as a company and their union busting efforts. Still, to have, you know, such a major political body finally coming out and saying something, it's great. I will say one thing I totally neglected to say when mentioning ways people can help is just don't buy Starbucks for the duration of the strike is really the easiest thing that people can do. And, you know, that totally slipped my mind in lieu of everything else. But just avoiding Starbucks, tell your friends Starbucks is on strike. Maybe
don't cross the picket line, folks.
Exactly. Don't cross the picket line. If you want to support a union in some way, join us in the capacity of not supporting this the company. Support us instead.
How many people are in your store? What's the staff like?
Last we had counted, I believe we had 23, but our manager did just do a big batch of hiring. I suspect maybe in an attempt to dilute the vote pool, but that is just conjecture again on my end. So we have like 3 or 4 new people, and out of those 23, I believe we have 19 people voted yes to strike.
So I guess if I were a manager, what I would probably do is ask any possible hires, what's your political party? What do you think about Trump? You know, that kind of thing.
Well, we're heavily discouraged from talking about politics on the floor, but...
Well, that doesn't mean that doesn't mean your boss can't talk about it in a hiring interview.
No, and he certainly has... he certainly said things in the past. He's a character, our manager. I have no animosity toward him, but we have to fight for our rights. It's been interesting. He definitely has a preference in his hiring, but that's all I'll say about that.
In one of the emails, I noticed that you got some solidarity in some way from Waffle House workers.
That's phenomenal.
So let me.
I haven't even heard about that yet.
This was on November 22nd. I got an email from Starbucks Workers United. Here's the entry. It says, Waffle House workers didn't hold back. Their solidarity made it clear from Waffle House to Starbucks, service workers deserve respect, a living wage, and a union.
And they're right.
Well, it's true.
It shouldn't just be Starbucks. We're hoping that this is kind of a landmark occurrence and can really... get many, like so many more service industry workers to start fighting for themselves as well. And we'll be here to fight along the way with them. Again, it's not just about me and my store or even just Starbucks as a corporation. It's about every service industry worker who is sitting there underpaid and abused by, you know, customers who are none too nice to them. It's about getting all of us to a point where we're in a better living situation where then we can all fight for even more for everyone. It is all very much a work in progress too. This is the most outreach I've done in a lot of ways, and it's been a great learning experience, but it's been a great learning experience because now I know what I guess my limits are and what I can do and when I need to ask others for help. And the fact that I need to just lean on more people in general, that people are willing to help and chip in themselves.
Yeah, that is definitely the a lesson that all organizers need to learn. Can't burn yourself out.
Oh, exactly. Just actually relying on those around me has made my work so much easier. For a period, it was... So we talked briefly about how we organized back in January, but one of the people who was pushing so heavily for organizing back then ended up getting a different job. And so from January to about the middle of the summer, union activity dropped off heavily at our store. And it took hearing about the strike and the future actions to really be the kick in the pants I needed to get me started and get the ball rolling again. And in that first like month or so, it was very much, I felt in over my head until I started asking for help. It has very much been a effort in building community again, getting everybody to lean on their neighbors and actually fight for something bigger than just ourselves.
What kind of actions did Starbucks or even the management of your store take to get you to either vote not to organize or, let's say, not to go out on strike?
At the time of organizing, we mostly just had our regional manager coming in and our district manager coming in as kind of as a small scare tactic. So like every time that our store manager must have heard the word union, he called in the district manager and he'd be there the next day, not really doing anything in particular, but just sitting in the lobby looking menacing. A bunch of flyers full of misinformation about unions, spreading distrust, talking about how ridiculous union dues would be when in reality they're like a dollar. It's not much, nothing. But a lot of disinformation.
They're nothing in comparison to the benefits that you get by being union.
Exactly. Especially compared to the benefits we get now. It's leagues better. As for right now, for the strike, it's been a lot of managers spreading, again, disinformation. It's their biggest weapon, just saying like, oh, you're not protected. Oh, you won't get paid. Just today, I had to stop by the store and I dropped off a bunch of pins for people that say, yeah, we're strike ready. And the moment I left, because my store manager was there, he's going around trying to get people to sign some paper saying that they'll work through it and work at different stores. And that's not a legally binding paper or contract in any form. And it's, from what I hear, a little bit illegal to be trying to get people to sign that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So just a lot of underhanded tactics.
And do you think that those tactics have, like, deterred people from joining the union in your store?
I honestly don't think it has, because again, we are such a tight-knit community that the moment somebody hears something like that, like the moment that was said to the partner this morning, they texted one of our more union involved partners and it got its way back to me and we got in contact with our union rep. So within probably 10 minutes of that conversation happening, we heard about it and we were able to say like, hey, he can't do that. That's illegal. You don't have to sign that paper. So we've created a very good network of communication and information so that nobody has to fear all that. It was definitely a little hard at the beginning before we had all this information and before I had gotten all the information about this myself, but it starts small. You're saying, no, he can't do that.
Yeah.
That's illegal.
Capitalists really hate to see a flourishing community.
They do. It's sad. You know, we'd bring them into the community if they were willing to do anything themselves, but...
That's something to be said for some bosses actually being treated very badly by their bosses higher up, too.
Oh, absolutely. And that's exactly why I hold no animosity toward our manager. He's in a rough spot himself. Like, I have no animosity toward him. He's trying to do what it takes to keep himself employed, keep himself fed. I can't blame him, but I just wish that he would show a little bit more solidarity in some cases.
It's a learned practice, too. I mean, growing up in America, you know, you're not really... Not everybody is taught that or understands what it means.
Yeah. I mean, and to go along with that, so much of labor organizing history is obfuscated in so many ways. Mm-hmm. It took me being in an organized store to even, again, get the kick in the pants to start learning about labor organizing history and how deep it really runs in this country. But it's been great to also learn about all of that as well.
Yeah, America wouldn't be America without our unions.
Exactly. I mean, shoot, the 8-hour workday is all a result of people fighting back in, I believe it's 1890 something. That's definitely wrong. Don't quote me on that.
Okay. Aaron, I think we have a very, very good show and a very, very good interview with you. But the obligatory question I always ask is, what song would you like us to play as part of the show?
Well, I think give me a second to actually get the name of the song right here.
It can be anything. We play truly everything.
I think it's just a perfect thing to play. There is power in the union.
I mean, whose version?
Whatever version of that song. I like the Utah Phillips version, personally.
Okay.
Done.
There's also a very good Billy Bragg version, who actually was on stage, and he's close with the Proclaimers, to bring it full circle.
Right, exactly.
Thank you so much, and we
thank you for having me on.
Joe Hill's best song. Sorry, we almost missed the damn thing. Chorus is, there is power in a band of working folks when we stand hand in hand. That's a power that must rule in every land. One industrial union grand. I'll teach you the chorus.
Recorded on December 2nd. So Aaron and their fellow Starbucks Workers United members have now been on strike for 8 days. So if you want to support them and make their stingy bosses hurt, we recommend that you buy nothing at a Starbucks anywhere, union or not, and that you do not buy anything with a Starbucks label in a store. Perhaps consider buying your coffee products elsewhere.
And if you want to find out how to do more than that to support Starbucks workers, consider joining a picket line at the union stores. I'm going to repeat again. I did this in the interview, but I'm going to do it now. In our area, there are Starbucks at 2 Kelch Drive in Malta, 309 Clifton Park Center Road, Suite 1 in Clifton Park, 2303 Knott Street East in Niskayuna, 1210 Troy Schenectady Road in Latham, 1 Crossgates Mall Road, B231, whatever that means, in Albany, Stuyvesant Plaza at 1475 Western Avenue, Albany, 62 New Scotland Avenue in Albany, and there's one at 600 Columbia Turnpike in East Greenbush, and there's also an online map of all of their picket lines, which is at www.nocontractnocoffee.org /#map.
I will also add that there is a Starbucks in Saugerties. There's one on the rest stop off the thruway, off the Coxsackie, or like in between Coxsackie and Selkirk. And of course, the Starbucks in Kingston that Aaron works at. Separately, when did society move away from pound sign to hashtag?
Yeah, I don't know when that happened.
It happened. It was definitely a shift. Probably Twitter.
Well, who decided to call it instead of hashtag pound sign or pound sign to hashtag?
That's the question. Because growing up, it was a pound sign.
That's right.
Anyway, enough boomering.
Okay. All right, let's go for another song.
Cool.
Yeah.
D.C., there's, even though there's a Starbucks strike going on both locally and nationally, there's a lot else going on in the universe that DSA pays attention to.
Of course.
Certainly there's the Tax the Rich campaign that is being launched by New York City DSA and is being spearheaded by that organization and being supported by Zoran Mamdani.
True. And members of our chapter, including you, are beginning to organize around lobbying.
I'm a lobbying lead for one of the assembly members. He's not in my assembly district, but I'm a lobbying lead for it. 110 Assembly District, Phil Steck. Also, there's pending legislation that's still in committee for a New York Health Act. ICE raids are still going on. And of course, Palestine is a mess.
Yeah, I got an email yesterday or 2 days ago from the Greene County Democratic Committee. They were doing Columbia County Sanctuary Movement, did a rapid response training, and then they have had a, we're like promoting a conversation with Delgado on ICE and immigration. And then at the bottom, they tacked on, sign up for volunteer opportunities with Josh Riley. And that just really bothered me.
That's contradictory, right?
That's what I responded. I was like, how do you in good conscience ask people to mobilize around these issues while also supporting Congressman Riley, who like all of his recent actions and votes completely contradict the above things that you're trying to mobilize people towards?
I know.
It just really bothered me because I'm like, having people volunteer is not like something that Democrats are owed. Like they need to earn that through their actions and like by building trust. And Riley has not earned that trust. In fact, he's broken it. So I'm just like, have a freaking backbone, Greene County Dems. If you're going to tell people to organize around this stuff, like hold him accountable.
Let's go to another song. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Trouble with the world today, it's plain to see. Is coffee in a cardboard cup?
Pickled down.
The trouble with the affluent society is coffee in a cardboard cup. No one's ever casual or nonchalant. No one wastes a minute in a restaurant. No one wants a waitress passing pleasantries like, "Hi, miss." "Hiya, sir. May I take your order, please?" The trouble with the world today, it's plain to see, is everything is a hurry-up. It's ready, whip, an instant tea, and a minute race, and a mile meter's coffee. I think she said coffee. I know she said coffee. And a cardboard cup. Hey, what are you doing? You see, I'm waiting here for the coffee. What are you, deaf? Come on, get me out of here. Special set of trouble with the world today, it's plain to see, cause everything is a hurry-up. It's rush and throw and don't be slow, and a BLT and a ride a-going. Coffee, I think she said coffee. I know she said coffee. And a cardboard cup. Hurry up.
That's all we have time for tonight, comrades. Tune in at 7 p.m. on the first next Tuesday of the month, which will be January 6th. But Zoran will have been mayor of NYC for 6 days. If you're interested in joining DSA, you may join at DSA.